Good evening, everyone. You've made it to the end or near the end of the first day of practice on retreat, which is usually, it can be very challenging. And we'll be spending our evenings this week cultivating these qualities of heart that Sylvia was talking about this afternoon, particularly loving kindness and equanimity. And the good news about that is that it's said in the suttas that people who cultivate metta, or this benevolent quality of heart, are well loved by other people and creatures, sleep more easily, and all these beautiful benefits come to those who have these qualities. So, Sylvia introduced to you these qualities called the Brahma Viharas, which are that's translated as divine abodes. In other words, great places to hang out, good places for the heart to dwell. And they enable us to come to be able to offer benevolence to other people, caring and compassion, the way Sylvia was discussing it, appreciative joy, you know, being able to be happy for other people's happiness, and equanimity, the reason most of us came here this week. So we'll focus our practice these first 2 days on this quality of goodwill or friendliness of heart, sometimes called loving kindness. And, you know, with every experience that we do, that we practice with kindness, with some kind of goodwill, it's actually leading us towards equanimity, because it takes us out of conflict with the world and puts us in a more even-minded space, sort of the ability to be with everything that comes our way in human life. So usually these divine abodes begin with metta, or this benevolence, goodwill, because it radiates this quality that then manifests in these other different ways. And, you know, Sylvia was saying to us earlier today, she thinks they're all just different kinds of friendliness, kinds of benevolence, these other qualities. So it's the wish for true or sustainable happiness for yourself and other people. Not, you know, a nice place to live and a good job and all those things that we love to have, right? Good friends, good partners. But actually something deeper that can sustain us no matter what the ups and downs in all those other areas. So these all, you know, this idea that they're all, that happiness for other people, that caring for other people, that compassion, equanimity, all kind of spring out of a general attitude of benevolence is pretty interesting. And whatever has brought you to this practice, mindfulness, meditation, Buddhism, whichever thing you've been attracted to, chances are there was already a lot of kindness in that. If nothing else, kindness to yourself to try to find a more peaceful way to live. And it's a my teacher, Gil Fronsdahl, maybe many of your teachers, have said that the reason we do this practice is not to save ourselves, but to save the world from ourselves. So in our roughest moments, I think maybe we can all appreciate that. So this idea that coming to this practice, you're showing kindness not only to yourself but to other people by seeing if you can become, you can live in a way that's a happier way. You know, even if goodwill wasn't your primary focus in coming here, the idea that you came here for more equanimity is certainly something that speaks to a kindness to yourself and other people. Because we certainly have lives that bring us all kinds of pain, all kinds of ups and downs. Aya Khema was a 20th century Buddhist teacher who is noted for providing opportunities for women to practice Buddhism. She founded a number of centers around the world. And she had this to say about the Brahmaviharas and about metta. True love exists when the heart is so broadly trained that it can embrace all human beings and all living creatures. This requires a learning process that is sometimes hard. Above all, when someone turns out to be very unfriendly or unpleasant. But this condition can be reached by everyone because we all have the capacity for love within us. So this love that she's talking about is this goodwill. Benevolence that can survive our relational ups and downs. So if we have a relationship, we've had ups and downs. And it may be easier to feel goodwill or benevolence for the people that we love or like, pretty much, right? But we can gradually extend or expand this capacity so that we have goodwill even towards the most difficult people. Sometimes that's hard to imagine at first. But it can be a source of stability for us, the equanimity that we don't have to be pulled, dragged around, pushed, pulled by difficult people. And by the way, one of those difficult people is sometimes ourselves. We may have the hardest time, some of us, with this being, more so than other beings. So this, you know, equanimity theme actually is considered to balance these other qualities, this benevolence. It balances sympathetic joy. It balances compassion. And it does that by enabling us to engage in this quality of goodwill without clinging. So clinging would be considered to be something that people sometimes veer into that seems like it's close to loving kindness, but it's actually not. It's called the near enemy of it. It enables us to engage in compassion or caring for other people without pity. Pity is another near enemy. You know, we can feel all kinds of sorrow, but if it veers into pity, that's actually not doing ourselves or anyone else any favors. And it can engage in appreciative joy, this happiness for other people, without pretending, without forcing ourselves to do it, genuinely feeling happy for other people's happiness. So equanimity is where we balance our hearts, basically, so that, you know, our hearts can, as you well know probably, can remain upset with someone or resistant to someone whose behavior we don't like. But we balance these emotional states, first of all, by separating the person from the behavior. We're not our behaviors. We're more than that. And so are the people that give us the hardest time. And we also do this by seeing cause and effect at work. This idea of karma, action and consequences. So we start to see we're never going to be able to reach peace or freedom from suffering if we continue to be reactive to other people or ourselves because of behaviors we don't like. If we remain reactive, we're at constant war with ourselves or with other people. So instead, we can respond from this place of caring rather than being caught in our stories around bad behavior. One way to cultivate it is through this practice. So I'm going to read aloud to you a wonderful new adaptation of the Metta Sutta that Sylvia adapted recently. I was going to bring you one translation that I memorized early in my practice, and I would say to myself every morning, and it was amazing. But what I love is that when I mentioned it to Sylvia, she said, oh, I, you know, here she is, you know, 87 years old, and she, oh, I have this new adaptation. I've picked out these words that really weren't, you know, speaking to contemporary audiences, and I'm bringing this to you hot off the presses, and I just feel so inspired by someone who keeps looking at things and going, oh, this could be better. So I'll read this, and at the end I'll put, as I leave, I'll put a stack of these out there so that you can each have one. So she entitles it the Metta Sutta, the Buddha's teaching on impartial kindness. So instead of loving kindness, which some of us, you know, at first when we're doing this practice, like, I don't know that I feel love towards some of these people I'm practicing for, but impartial kindness, maybe we can get behind that. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be straightforward and gentle, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways. Peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing, in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they're weak or strong, omitting none, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. Even as a parent protects with their life their child, their only child, just so, with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one having clarity of vision, free of addiction to sense desires, is not born again into this world. So this kind of gives you a flavor for where one can get with this practice, and that it's a way of not being born again into suffering, not recreating this cycle of suffering and finding peace. And I'll just recommend memorizing it, because when I did that, I found myself puzzling over certain verses and then finding, you know, week after week, month after month, kind of finding what they meant to me and discovering things that felt good. So this evening when we do this kindness practice, we're going to extend the benevolence towards ourselves. Now, some of us have been conditioned to be really hard on ourselves, or to regard love for ourselves as selfish or indulgent. Some of us may even be punishing ourselves for our own past behaviors. Or we may think in some way we're not okay, we're not good enough. Or we might think, well, I'm not particularly kind, or I don't want to be mushy. I want to hold myself accountable, you know. So there are all these flavors of how we can be hard on ourselves or strict or tough on ourselves. And tonight, I'd like to encourage any of us who have those tendencies to suspend those for this evening, over the next several evenings. Just try the practice. Many of you probably have done it before, but if you haven't, just try it and just see what happens. There are no right or wrong outcomes. Whatever is coming up is going to be valuable for us to see. And if wishing this kindness to yourself is difficult, keep in mind that in the Buddha's teaching, there's no such thing as deserving happiness or love. There's no such thing as deserving pain or suffering. There are only actions leading to wholesome results and actions leading to unwholesome results. Just cause and effect. That simple, that equanimous. So it's always a good time to begin to cultivate wholesome results, something that feels good. And if it is actually too difficult for you to imagine sending loving kindness or benevolence to yourself right now, then imagine that a teacher or a trusted friend or even a kind stranger in this hall, someone you've seen and think they look pretty nice, imagine that that person is sending these wishes of kindness to you. So let's begin by finding a comfortable and relaxed posture that will sustain you. In these practices, it's especially important to feel comfortable in the body. You don't have to be some kind of meditation champion. Maybe starting by noticing, scanning yourself a little bit from head to foot gradually. Noticing if there's any tightness, any tension in the, any tension in the body. Starting with the head and the the face, where we tend to hold a lot of muscular tension, releasing the muscles of the forehead, around the eyes, allowing your jaw to drop open a little, relaxing. The lips, the tongue. Perhaps letting the weight of the arms and hands allow the shoulders to drop a little. Releasing any holding in the chest or back, in the belly. If you find an area of tightness that is remaining tight, simply breathing in the feeling of that tightness and breathing out kindness, care for that part of the body, not demanding anything of it, just breathing out kindness for it and repeating that. Sometimes there are conditions, bodily conditions that we're living with that are just going to continue to speak to us. We can be present with those with goodwill. Releasing the full weight of your body onto the cushion or into the chair. Relaxing your buttocks and legs. Feeling your feet against the cushion or the floor. And bringing ease to any area that can be softened. And accepting with kindness and benevolence any area that remains in a more challenging condition. feeling the whole body. Breathing ease, breathing softness into and out of the body. Perhaps extending some kindness to this body that constantly, without our asking, breathes, the heart beats. It notices anything that enters it that isn't healthy, and it tries to correct that condition. It heals, you know, scratches and cuts. All on its own, not because we will it to. That's an amazing amount of benevolence towards this being. Maybe we can wish some goodwill back towards this very body we're breathing in. It's been with us all these years, and it does generally what we want it to do. Bounces back from illness when it can. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it's working very hard on our behalf. And then gently turning the mind towards an image of yourself at a time when you felt good. It might have been a time when you did something to care for yourself in a way that felt good. Or a time that you did something kind or caring for someone else. Could have been a person, could have been any living creature. Letting yourself know the goodwill that was contained in those moments. Allowing yourself to feel that benevolence. Or you might picture yourself as an innocent child, or at any age when you had good intentions. Letting yourself take in your good qualities, that you have a fundamentally good heart, or you wouldn't be here right now. Or imagining someone else who cares about you, wishing these things for you. We're going to inclining the mind towards friendliness, wishes of goodwill, kindness towards ourselves. And I'm going to offer some phrases that are used as wishes that we send. You can receive them, listen to them. You can quietly repeat them in your own mind as a whisper as we go through the evening. As you let your mind and heart take in these intentions of kindness towards yourself, wholeheartedly wishing the very best in you, these wishes, not as demands or agendas, but just as inclinations towards some good qualities. May I be well. Wishing yourself well-being. That might be health. It might just be a state of mind of well-being. May I be well. May I be protected from harm. Inwardly, outwardly, wishing yourself safety, protection. May I be happy. This could be a very calm, subtle feeling. It doesn't have to be some kind of huge excitement. Just may I be fundamentally happy. May I live with ease. Inviting that quality of balance or equanimity. Imagining yourself living with ease. May I be well and healthy. May I be protected from inner and outer harm. Secure. May I be content and happy. May I live with ease and peace. If the opposite feelings or some kind of other feeling arises, don't let that worry you at all. Sometimes this is called a purification practice. meaning that old difficulties or current difficulties need to be surfaced. They kind of need to be drawn up and out, the same way poison is drawn out of a wound. So simply allowing whatever is arising with kindness, with goodwill, I see you, I hear you, I'm meeting you with friendliness. Yes, I've had difficulty. Yes, things are challenging, but I can still wish myself these good wishes. May I be well. May I be free from harm. May I be happy. May I live with ease. We'll continue this practice for about 10 more minutes in silence. And you're also free to, if a phrase bubbles up that fits for you, you can invent a phrase for yourself. When I attended Sylvia's 2006 Metta retreat, I added the wish, may I love and accept myself just as I am. So feel free to add a phrase of your own as you continue to whisper these wishes of goodwill to yourself. May all the people in this room and beings on this property sleep well and peacefully tonight. May we all feel the benefits of goodwill towards each other, towards ourselves. May all beings be free of suffering.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.